Okay, Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. We're going to talk on the subject of grace tonight. God's grace is His power and ability to do ministry. Every believer is called to do something. There's no one in the body of Christ that does nothing. If you are a part of the body of Christ, you have a function, and the grace of God will help you accomplish it. I believe what we say and how we act is contingent on engaging the grace to do the work that God has called us to do. We're going to look at some scriptures that reflect that. First one is Galatians 2:21. Sometimes our actions reflect that God's grace is not enough, or maybe it's not good enough. All right, 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The Strong's, this is what it means, frustrate: to set aside, to disesteem, neutralize or violate, cast off, despise, disannul, bring to naught, reject or cancellation. Negativity, to negate; positivity, to engage. Negativity, to negate; positivity, to engage. Grace is what makes difficult things easy or possible. When it gets too hard, the grace kicks in and helps us out if we stay in the right mindset and keep our mouths positive. Our very mission statement is all about the grace of God. This is Romans 5:17. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So the way you reign is by grace. It helps us to reign. Grace will not be a partaker of complaining. We're going to read this whole chapter in Romans because really it reflects this stand of the grace, engaging the grace. Starting with verse 1 there, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Who wants to glory in tribulation? I don't. But it says here, we glory in tribulations. Also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that life comes by his grace. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we now have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, that for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Here's the scripture again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to read chapter 6 also. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You know, just looking back at the Faith Hall of Famers and all the many things that they did there, everything they did by grace, but everything they did was a challenge and it was scary. But they attained the goal by grace. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. The like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye, you members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Which way we choose to operate and to act, we can negate the grace or we can engage the grace. To complain about what has come against us is to hint that God's grace is not sufficient. Paul went to the Lord three times. We're going to look at what the Lord said to Paul. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're acquainted with this, but somehow, sometimes we forget that. And nobody went through any more than Paul that I can think of in the whole Bible. But Jesus, of course, is death. All right, 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions or revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. See, because of this caught up to heaven and all of this, he's getting this backside kick. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Well, I can't say I'm where Paul is right now, but I'm trying to do my best to keep my mouth shut about it. It is apparent that the Apostle Paul knew how to engage the grace. Did Paul have a different grace than you? Maybe a little stronger being an apostle, but he also had harder trials to overcome, so he had to have more grace. This is James. James talks about grace is supplied to meet, well, there's an evil tendency in man. This is James chapter 4. Start with verse 6 there. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now what is that? What is proud? Proud means your own way, your own way of doing things. Grace means God's way of doing things. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To me, if you submit to God, you've resisted the devil. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Then he goes on to talk about, don't speak evil about one another. You know, when Paul was coming against the church and killing believers and hauling them off to prison and all kinds of things, the Lord spoke to Ananias concerning Paul, and I want to read that. This is Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It seemed everywhere Paul went, he ended up in jail, shipwrecked, or snake bit. But Barnabas started ministering with Paul. He saw the grace of God at work in the Gentile nations. There's not anything done in the New Testament that hasn't been done by grace. This is Acts chapter 11. start with 22 there. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they could cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So this is the Gentile church. They saw the grace of God working in the Gentile churches, and acts of power working. Okay, with that, let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Verse 33 there. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's grace, God, supply, this great grace. Chapter 5. See, the grace shows great acts of power, but it also shows different kinds of power in manifestation. Judgment. Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered and said, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. It's the Spirit of grace doing these works. Go over to Acts 12. Whether for evil or for good. Evil in the point that God's judging. It's just the grace of God in operation. The other side of it. Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, being kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. The light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. This is what a grace of God will do. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. The last part of this, verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sodom, but they came with one accord to him. Having made blast at the king chamberlain, their friend desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Grace delivered Peter, judged Ananias and Sapphira and Herod. We want to stay on the right side of grace. God is grace. Grace is the Holy Spirit. Grace is Jesus Christ. Got three more scriptures. We'll be done. 1 Peter 4:10. I mean, there's many more, but I just put these three down. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start with verse 29 there. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For ye know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Spirit of grace. One more, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.